the next segment, I want to tell y'all, and let me go through this real fast with y'all. I was just thinking about this, that if you've ever sat through the wealth seminars that I do, you know that there are six stages of wealth. And I'll give those to you real quick, and you may want to write them down because we're going to do a couple of those right now. There's six stages of wealth. The first stage is gathering wealth, then growing wealth, allocating wealth, protecting wealth, enjoying your wealth, and then sooner or later you'll transfer that wealth. And tonight we're going to be talking about how to gather wealth and grow wealth and how to allocate the wealth, because we have two more speakers on, and Rob and April Hurst are going to cover the first one about how to create more wealth and how to gather more wealth. And then we're going to have Bill and Jan Sullivan cover our book on talking a little about how to allocate that wealth by our book of the month. So I'm excited to introduce two of my good friends, Rob and April Hurst, Network Vice President of Ohio. And they're going to be talking about one of the most important things that we train our team on. And every time you do a private business reception, all the leaders now, make sure you're always taking someone with you to train them on how to do it, so they'll know how to do PBRs. Because the more PBRs you have, the faster your business is going to grow. This is how Teresa and I kicked our business off. Our first week in the business, we had a PBR. We invited 12 people over. 11 of them came into business. And that kicked the entire Performance family off. And everything we've done from that point on has been built from that one start. Once we did that, then we did a luncheon about 2 days later. After the luncheon, we started a meeting in the city. And it has never stopped since then, but it all started with a grand opening, our private business reception. So, Rob and April Hurst, Network Vice President of Ohio, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, you're loud and clear. I don't know if both of you are going to do this or you're going to do this, but we're excited to have you train on this, and I would suggest that everybody take notes because these folks do PBRs all the time. So, Rob, I'm going to turn this over to you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me on, Mr. Coyne. And April is actually in an appointment. We just got finished doing a call party, making some calls with the team, and she had an appointment that she had to take advantage of. So I'll be the trainer tonight. So private business receptions, you know, is the number one way to launch a business. And I'm going to just kind of cover, you know, some of the most important pieces and also, you know, the how-tos as well. And, you know, private business receptions can go well, but they can also go bad if some of these things are not understood. And I'm not going to really go into the script. You know, I know we've been talking about the script, the invite script, hey, I got a minute. Hey, do you have a minute? What are you doing on such and such day? And a couple new smartphone apps have just been rolled out, and you're going to want to know about them. I mean, I know we've been going over that script. But I'm going to talk about, you know, the actual private business reception, and definitely use a script, get them out. But here's the thing that you got to remember the most. The thing you have to remember, you want to invite three times as many as you want to show up. Oftentimes someone may say, well, I want five people, so they only invite five people. And the rule of thumb is you invite five people. And then when we say invite five people, we mean like five people confirmed. If five people confirm that they're going to come, more than likely one or two will probably show up. So, and I guess I need to go back to the invite. So here's another important piece when you're doing the invite. So one of the important questions that you want to ask someone, if I'm looking at my warm list, I want to call them up. Let's say I'm calling Jane. Hey, Jane. Hey, how are you? I'm good. Listen, what are you doing on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m.? And more than likely, she's going to probably say, you know, I'm doing nothing, I'm free, or whatever the case is. And then that's when you kind of go into the script, and you know, which is real simple. You know, I'm working on a project. There's a couple new smartphone apps that were just rolled out, and you're going to want to know about them. If I was to invite you out to a special get-together on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, would you attend? And so at that point, because she's already shared that she's available, her only response at that point is, yes, I'll attend. And so, okay, great. So you'll be able to attend on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Yes. Okay, so I can count on you for Wednesday at 7. Okay, awesome. And here's one last piece I always throw in there. If I'm inviting them out to a house, if it's a house presentation, I'll say, hey, can you bring a bag of ice or can you bring a bag of chips? This ensures that that person is now committed because now they have committed to not only be there, but they have to bring it. And nobody wants to be the person who was supposed to bring something, they don't show up. All right, so that's one tip that's really helped us with private business reception. The other most important thing about a private business reception is the night before, the day before the private business reception, you want to have someone to confirm your guests. You want to have someone to confirm your guests. So if I was to confirm someone's guest, it would go something like this. Hey, listen, my name is Rob. I'm the event coordinator for Shauna, and I just want to confirm your seat for her get-together on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Oh, yes, I'm good for that. Okay, awesome. We look forward to seeing you there. So that confirmation just adds another layer of commitment to that guest actually coming out because we want to make sure they show up. What I've learned is when some of these little things have not been done, you know, you run into problems. If I call someone and say, hey, I'm having a private business reception on this such and such day, can you attend? Sometimes people will come up with an excuse or they start asking questions. So by asking them, hey, what are you doing on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, you're already finding out if they're available. And then the other piece about getting someone to confirm, again, it just adds another layer of commitment. All right, so going to the actual day of the private business reception, there's a couple things that you want to make sure are done. And number one, you want to make sure that you put up your pets. You know, if you have pets, you know, if you have children, you know, you definitely want to have someone to watch your children if you have children. And if someone has children, you probably want to let them know no children allowed, unless you're going to have someone there who can take the children outside. But my suggestion is the less distractions, the better. I can't tell you how bad I've seen PBRs go because those things were not in place. The other thing is if you want to have, you know, some really easy music playing, and probably you want to have like a Profiles of Success out or maybe 101 Reasons Why People Need Legal Shield, and it's just good to have that information because you want to kind of control the environment. I've done PBR sometimes when those things weren't in place and people just start talking about random stuff and politics, and that's just not the place for that. So you want to really keep it real focused on business. Another thing is, you know, no brochures or paperwork out in sight. You know, you want to kind of just, I mean, have it ready, but don't just have it out. Those are just some things I've watched because people start picking up stuff, they're reading stuff, and it's like we want them to focus on the information. Let's see. Oh, here's another big one. This is not the time, you know, to get out your cooking skills, you know, and show everybody how well you can cook. You want to keep it really simple, chips and dip, light soda, water. There's a reason behind that because if water spills, it won't make a mess. If someone spills some red Tahitian treat, it's going to make a mess. And so, you know, the one reason we have private business receptions is so we can say that we had one and it continues to duplicate. So it's very important that everybody does it no matter what happens. It's something that everybody has to do because if it's not done, then it won't duplicate. It's kind of hard to tell someone they should do a private business reception if we haven't done one. So that's a very important key there. Now, and here's the other thing. The reason why you don't want to do food, because I know some people say, well, you know, people love to eat. The reason is because not everybody can cook. And I think some of us know some people who can't cook. We may not necessarily want them to be cooking for a private business reception. And that's not duplicatable, you know. So chips and dip is real easy. Nobody can mess that up. All right, so let's get into the presentation. Now, one of the most important things that I have found is if I'm the one facilitating a presentation or a PBR for someone who's a brand-new associate, you know, I like to step outside with them before we get started, or actually I try to get there before anybody gets there and just kind of coach them on what they need to say. And so all you simply have to do if someone is doing a presentation or whoever's private business reception it is, they want to simply, once it's time to get started, they just want to get up and share their why, all right? Their wants and reasons why they saw an opportunity for this. They want to thank everybody for coming out. You know, guys, listen, you know, you all know me. You know, I've been working in my job for the last 10 years. It, you know, it pays okay, but it's not giving me enough to do the things I want for me and my family. And so I'm really excited about this because what I saw an answer to actually give me more time and to give me more money than my job is actually paying me. So I wanted you all to get a chance to see that as well. And the gentleman I have here, you know, he knows 110% of facts. He's making some really great income. And so he is the one that you're going to hear from. His name is Mr. Rob Hurst, okay? So it's really important that introduction is done well. I've seen a lot of introductions. It's like somebody starts going to this 10-minute speech, but we just want to keep it real simple and short so that we can get the speaker up. So now, if you're in a situation, if you're long distance and your expert is out of town, same thing. You can get up, share your why, but you want to have your expert on speakerphone. And once the expert's time, once the expert starts, the expert's going to, you know, share a little bit about themselves, maybe just 1 minute. They're going to edify the video, all right? I think we have such an incredible presentation on the We Are Vision 2020. Justin Peterson does an absolute phenomenal job. And so you get a chance to edify, you know, Mr. Peterson. Hey, you all are going to hear from a gentleman who got started with our company just about last year. Within 5 months, him and his partner, you know, they made a six-figure, a multiple six-figure income, you know, just in 5 months. And so you're going to get a chance to see you see him, but also hear more about, you know, this what you were invited out to see. And so we're excited, and we're just going to hit play. So now you hit play for the We Are Vision 2020. After the presentation is over, at that point, the question that needs to be asked is, what did you like best? So if your expert is there, obviously they're going to ask, what did you like best? Now, if you're long distance, you're going to ask that same question, you know, guys, what did you like best? But your next step, if you're long distance, if your expert is not in the room, is to get them on the phone. They're probably going to ask the same exact question, what did you guys like best? At that point, you know, they may answer a few questions, but what you want to simply be ready to do is have some paperwork ready, you know, if you're doing paperwork. If you got iPads or whatever, that's great too. Now, in my opinion, I like paperwork because if someone is not ready for to get signed up today for it to be processed, I want to have the paperwork in hand so it can be processed. There's nothing worse than trying to chase somebody down, you know, when they could have signed up. We could have had the information on day one. So that's just a preface of mine, but I like to have paperwork. And honestly, some people may feel more comfortable with that. But we get the paperwork done. If they're looking to become an associate, we get the associate paperwork done. And at that point, the another reason is to have a private business reception so we can schedule more private business receptions. So just some extra tips that I want to just kind of add real quick before I pass it back over to Mr. Coyne is when you do the invite, relax. I think a lot of times people look at the list, and I know I did. I got nervous. I was thinking about, what do I say to these people? How do I say it to these people? What if they reject me? All the other stuff. But if you just follow the script, if you just trust the script that we have for the performance family, you can't go wrong, okay? But also be excited. Be very excited about it. You know, so it's kind of, I know it sounds strange to do both, but relax first and be excited, you know, and be yourself. The other thing I want to mention is schedule the private. I've seen a lot of people do this. Schedule a private business reception and stick with it. Never cancel a PBR. Never change the date because it's not the only private business reception that you're going to have. So you want to schedule that private business reception and stick with it. Trust me, if you follow this correctly, if you call someone up, what are you doing on X or Y day, and you follow that script, those that show up, show up. Those that don't, we'll get back with them. You know, we can put them on a PCC or move them to the next private business reception. But, you know, I know that's one of the things I did in the beginning. It was a big mistake. You know, I rescheduled my private business reception. My sponsor was like, oh, no, don't do that. I didn't understand why, but it was harder for me to get those individuals' times again to actually come back out because they may have moved something around. So we just want to be respectful of that and just make sure that you follow this easy system. One other last thing. This is just an extra tip. This is just something that we've done. And we try to, if you're facilitating private business reception, whether you're the expert or whether you're the associate as well, sit with the guests, sit with them, but sit where you can see everybody. And the reason that is I want to kind of see through my peripheral who's filling the information and who's not. There's a reason for that, because if someone's negative, We don't want to ask them any questions. There's no reason to ask anyone any questions that has a negative vibe. So we're looking for the positive vibe, the person that's nodding and bobbing, the person that's laughing, the person that's like, wow, this is good, right? That's the person, because when the video is over, when we ask what did you like best, we really want to ask the person who's nodding and bobbing, what did you like best? And if they say, man, I like everything, then we say by show of hands, who sees what Myron sees? And everybody, it's funny, people will follow what everybody else is doing. That's just another extra tip, and that just helps you to kind of keep control of the private business reception, because if you let that negative person loose, they'll mess everything up. So there's just a way, and I wish I could go into, there's some other little things I could add, but these are just those other little nuances that's helped us to make sure those private business receptions were done very successfully. I guess one other thing, if you're long distance, and this is my last piece, if you're long distance and you're the expert, this is something that I teach that associate that's facilitating private business reception. I will tell them this, you know, just kind of pay attention who's got the good energy, who doesn't. And whoever you sense has the bad energy, when you tell me who's in the room, say the negative person's name last. That way I won't ask the negative person anything. So anyway, just another little nuance that's helped us. So hopefully that was helpful tonight. I'm sure I could go into a little bit more, but these are just some of the basics I found to you know, perform a successful private business reception. And you want to schedule it as soon as possible, not 2 weeks out, not 3 weeks out, not a month out, this week. You know, you want to do it within the first week. Honestly, I like to do it within the first 3 to 5 days. I want to have that private business reception, because the faster we get them paid, the faster we get them leveled up, the more success they will have and their team will have. Thank you so much, Mr. Acorn.
Oh, you did a wonderful job, Rob. And I'll tell you, you can tell you and April have done a lot of these, because you pick up all those nuances as you do this. And I just want to go over a couple of things here. That when people start coming in, make sure you're introducing everybody and edifying everybody to everybody else. I mean, it's really important, because a lot of these people won't know each other. You know, some may not, but make sure you, when somebody comes in, you introduce them to each other and edify the other person, and just get them talking. And then as more people come in, you know, bring them over and introduce them, and then start that thing out. And I'll tell y'all some, there's good things about PBRs and there's bad things about PBRs that turn good. When Teresa and I first got in the industry, we didn't know how to invite to a PBR. We didn't know how to set up the room. We didn't know anything. And we screwed that thing up so bad, I can't even tell y'all. For 3 or 4 months, I would do a PBR every week at my house. Trish and I would set up everything, and we'd set it up all wrong, and not one soul showed up. Excuse me. Every week, I would invite people, all my friends, and they didn't show up. They just did not show up. And I thought, well, maybe there's a detour down the road, and I'm looking out the door, and you know, and no one showed up. And so when they didn't show up, I just practiced a little presentation to Teresa. Back then, we didn't have videos and audios and all that stuff. We just practiced the presentation. And by the time we got that first person in that room, I talked for like 2 hours, and I never saw him again. So now if you get training, like he was just saying, like Rob was just saying, if you get the training, you won't go through all that. It turned out good, because if you fail enough and you keep going at it, I said, you know, if everybody else can do this and be successful, I know we can. So if somebody doesn't show up or no one shows up, don't feel bad about it. You put it on, you'll do the next one. And another thing, we sometimes when we were doing these, we would do like 3 in 1 day. We would do 1 at 3, 1 at 6, and 1 at 8, because some people couldn't come, you know, at the 8 o'clock, and some couldn't come at the 6. And, you know, so we started doing on the weekends. We might do 3 at someone's house. And we would move them up and level them up so fast it would make your head swim. As a matter of fact, one of the fastest growing groups in all of Legal Shield is the Root family. And I heard a bunch of them on here a while ago. I don't know if anybody recently has done more PBRs than the Root family. And as all of you know Matthew has been in just a little over a year. He has been executive director over 8 months now. His mother, I understand, Joanne, is one counter away from executive director. So Matthew brought his mom in and his sister in, and a lot of their success has been there at every event. They put on more PBRs than anybody I know, and not only at their place, but at other people's houses. So PBR is definitely the way to kick your business off. And don't worry about if you live in a small apartment, because your friends are used to you living in a small apartment. Don't be embarrassed by that. You know, just have the PBR. Just have the private business reception. And follow everything that Rob said, and it'll be a heck of a way to kick your business off. Now, I'm excited to go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
I was going to say one last thing. Yes. You know, Mr. Self shared with us about a year ago to be flexible. Sometimes, you know, if for some reason, you know, someone wants to do it at like a restaurant, because I was going to share that I've had those situations where maybe someone's schedule was so busy, the only thing they could do was a lunchtime. So we might have got like a little private room and just maybe order a couple pizzas and then a private business reception like that as well. So anyway, I just want to kind of throw that in there because I saw, you know, we can use luncheons as well, luncheons and also dinner presentations.
Right. It really doesn't matter. I mean, the best place to do it is your own home, because a lot of people feel comfortable coming to your house. They may not feel comfortable coming to some other place. But no matter where they want to do it, you just go ahead and do it. You know, have the PBR for that new person. And then one other thing that's really important, when you bring somebody on, if that day they come on, you can get them to call the law firm and talk to the law firm about their will. Download the app, you know, have them look at the will, and then have them call the law firm and ask them if there's anything that they should be particularly looking at in the will. Then by the time they have their private business reception a day later or 2 days later, they've already used the membership, they've already talked to the law firm, and they know the thing works. So, you know, the faster you get someone to use that membership, the longer they're going to stay in this business. And if they get their will done, we know they stay in there a lot longer. And then they also have their first story to tell, you know, at their private business reception. So, anyway, thank you, Rob Hurst. I appreciate that, and I hope April's appointment went really, really well. Now, our next segment, and let me go over that again. We talked about gathering wealth because you're having this private business reception and growing your wealth, right? You get some associates on, they come on board, and then you set up more private business receptions with them. So you're gathering wealth and you're growing wealth. And now what we're going to do is talk about how to allocate that wealth once you start getting that wealth, because a lot of you on the phone are going to make some really big money with legal skills. Some of you will become multimillionaires, and you want to know how to allocate that wealth. And one of the best books out there is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. There's no doubt about that, especially if you've never read anything about, you know, finances, if you've never learned about how to allocate your wealth and how to keep growing the wealth. So you want to get wealth, you want to grow it, get it, and then you want to allocate that wealth to grow more wealth. So we've got two of my best friends on the phone. I don't know which one of these is going to do this. Bill and Jan Sullivan. I have known Bill and Jan longer than I've known anybody on this call. We've been together probably for 20 years. Bill and Jan used to own one of our stores. As some of you know, we still own a chain of stores. They own one of them. Then they went and did some stuff with churches and books and stuff, sold the store, and then came with us with Legal Shield. And it's one of been the longest friendships I've ever had in my life, and one of the most rewarding friendships I've ever had. And this is one of the most articulate and smartest guys I've ever known. And it's Bill and Jan Sullivan up in Tennessee. So, Bill, are you there?
I am here, and I'm not sure who set this up for me to talk about finance right after the great Frank of Coin. I'm not sure who lined this one up, but
I did.
This, you know, it's interesting when you read a book and then you put it aside for a while and you pick it back up and read it, and there are things that you say, I don't think I ever read that before. And, you know, when I sat down and started rereading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and there are things that I'd underlined in it, and it's like, wow, I didn't really get that. You know, he says he's constantly shocked by how little bit of money a lot of talented people earn. And he said he was talking to somebody in the medical business who was telling him how many doctors and dentists and chiropractors struggle financially. And, you know, he said all this time he thought that when you graduate from medical school, the dollars would just come pouring in. And it's interesting, he said, those folks are just one skill away from great wealth. One skill away from great wealth. He said, when it comes to money, unfortunately, the only skill most people know is hard work, you know, hard work on their job. And he talks about when he returned from Vietnam in 1973, he resigned his commission in the Army, even though he liked to fly, and he found a job with Xerox Corporation, and he joined for one reason, and that reason was not the benefits. He said, I was a shy person, and I thought that the selling, trying to be in sales, was the most frightening subject in the world. Xerox had one of the best sales trainings in America, and that's why he joined, to learn how to sell. And, you know, his educated dad, you know, who was a professor, was ashamed of him for going into sales of Xerox because, being an intellectual, he thought salespeople were below him, beneath him. He said, but he worked for Xerox for 4 years until he overcame the fear of cold calling and being rejected. And once he got where he was constantly in good sales, he resigned from that company and moved on again. So he was talking about learning new skills. That is what makes people successful, really successful, is learning new skills. And he said there's an old cliche that goes, the word job, J-O-B, is an acronym for just over broke. He said, you know, in school, they don't think financial intelligence is what we need. And most of the working people who work for, you know, a salary or for an hourly wage live just within their means. They work and they pay their bills. And he says there's another horrible management theory that goes like this. Workers work just hard enough not to get fired, and owners pay just enough so that the workers won't quit. And if you look at the pay scale at most companies, he says, I'd have to agree that there's some truth to that statement. And the net result is most workers never get ahead. They do what they've been taught in school and all that, get a secure job, and most workers focus on working for pay and benefits that are reward in the short term, but are that are often disastrous in the long term. He said that he recommends young people seek work where they will learn more than what they will earn. Look down the road at the skills they want to acquire before choosing a profession or a job, before they get trapped in the rat race. Once people are trapped in the lifelong process of paying bills, they become like little hamsters running around in those little metal wheels. Their furry legs are spinning furiously. The wheel is turning, and come tomorrow morning, they'll still be in the same cage, same situation. He said this, and this is really interesting. He said, when I speak to adults who want to earn more money, I always recommend the same thing. I suggest taking a long view of life. Instead of working for money and security, I advise them to take a second job that will teach them real skills. I often recommend working with a network marketing company, a multi-level company, because it teaches life value skills more than anything else you can do, just about. That is Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki, and it speaks right exactly to what it is that we're about and what it is that we're learning. And over time, I've come to really understand that he knows what he's talking about. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to you, Mr. Coyne.
Bill Sullivan, thank you so much. And, you know, I have to agree with that. He teaches all the life skills, and then he teaches you how to gather the wealth and grow the wealth, and also how to allocate the wealth. And that's what, you know, we're doing here. And it's not about what you learn in school. School is designed to teach you how to read and write and do arithmetic and history and geometry and all the other stuff. You have to learn the other stuff on your own because that's not what they were chartered to do in school. So don't blame it on the schools, because I blamed schools for 50 years until I finally figured out. I mean, literally, I was really mad at the schools for not teaching me anything about money. But that's not what they were chartered to do. You have to do that on your own. And that book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, has sold hundreds of millions of copies worldwide. And I think a lot of people have been impacted by that. So if you haven't read it, I'm suggesting you read it. And if your kids haven't read it, I'm going to suggest that you get your kids to read it, because they have one for kids too. So I'm going to turn this back over to Mr. Corey Muhammad to do some recognition, because we got lots of recognition to do. Mr. Muhammad, are you still there?
All right. Hey, thank you for that, Frank, and thank you for everyone that shared so far. And, hey, look, this is some great upranks over the last week. A lot of new folks that leveled up, some level-up advancements in the performance family. I mean, it's you know, just good to be able to see this. But I'm going to start them off, and hopefully I won't hurt anyone's name too bad. We'll give this thing a shot. So first we're going to go ahead and roll with the those that leveled up to senior associates. So we have Rathenia Thompson, Alonzo Wright, Jimmy Gardner, Todlin Oliver, Rebecca Pankow, Kevin Gadsden, Thomas Stewart, Kendall Whitfield, Joel Ferdinand, S. Impat, and Donald Masura. So those are the senior associates. It leveled up. Everyone, this is just last week. And then those that meet the manager, taking advantage of the ATM. There's Audrey Arlich, Clarence Ratley, Merge Enterprise of South Carolina LLC, James T. Hannafin, and Jeff Ekorst. All of those individuals achieved managers. So congratulations to everyone on leveling up. That takes us on over to the top recruiters for last week. And the top recruiters for last week literally had quite a few people at tied for number one, and all of them had two recruits. So the top recruiters last week, this looks like about a good 10-way tie, and all of them had two recruits. And so let's go ahead and start it off. We've got a Second Chance Resources, Kennedy J. Haley, Jade Alderman, Kevin Gadsden, Thomas Stewart, Cheyenne Diaz, Ryan Morris, Benjamin Notini, Joshua Henderson, and Justin Peterson. Again, all of those individuals, top recruiters last week with at least two recruits. And then that takes us on over to the top producers for last week. And we had four people tied for number two. And that's Karen Mosley, Johnny Mims, Kathleen Ferry, and Eddie and D. Smith. All of them were number two. And the number one top producer last week, Diana Jackson out of South Carolina. As a matter of fact, all the top producers that were listed last week, all of them were in the state of South Carolina. So that's the recognition for the week. Everyone, let's just continue. Want to definitely see our names on it. Want to congratulate everyone. As you know, we're moving up and leveling up and closing out the week with some strong momentum. Back to you, Mr. Coyne.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Corey Muhammad. I appreciate that. And all those people who leveled up, congratulate each one of y'all. If y'all know any of those people, listen, pick up the phone and call them and congratulate them. I mean, they deserve it. Everybody that moves the membership, anybody that recruits anybody that levels up, you know, congratulate them, because everybody's success is everybody else's success. And so we're going to be closing out now. And I just wanted to thank all of you, you know, for being on the call. This is a really important call. If you're on here 52 times a week, you know, we will cover everything you ever need to do to grow your business here. And there's the one single thing that, There is no more important single thing than to have the right people in your business and the right people in your life. If you want to live a really rich life and a really meaningful life, you know, be real careful, you know, the people you run around with, have the right people in your life, have the right, you know, pick the right person for your marriage, pick the right person for your kids, pick the right person for your business, pick the right person for your social life. I can't think of a more important thing than having the right people in your life to have a very rich, meaningful life. And remember, we're getting ready to close the month out. We just have a few more days, and we want to hear about your success next week. Teresa will be back with us next week. I know it's more exciting with her on here. But I want to thank Lois out in L.A. For doing the hosting, and Corey Muhammad and April and Rob Hurst and Bill and Jen Sullivan for spending just probably hours preparing to do this talk, because it's not easy – you know, to do a talk on a national call like this. So, you know, we'd love to hear from you. If you have some success or you reach ED, let Teresa and I know. And once again, congratulations, everybody. This is Frank Acoin from Charleston, South Carolina, saying good night to everybody. Appreciate you being on. Bye-bye now.